The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Tuesday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, SiriusXM channel 158. My name is Gil Alexander. That right there is Kelly Bidlin, everybody.
What's up, party people?
How you doing?
I'm doing great. How about you?
Great, man. You know, you have one job today on the show.
Ooh.
Do you know what it is?
No.
You have to be on Tuchus Bushwatch.
Oh, yes. Yes.
These are the two things that they tabled. The NFL rules stuff that they tabled a little more than a month ago was the Tush Push, whether that will be allowed anymore in the NFL. And the other one was playoff seeding. Will we stick to what it is, or are they going to change it? Who was it? The Lions were the ones who wanted to change the playoff seeding into forget the divisions, forget the automatic of, you know, a division winner being what slotted in no matter how bad you are at the lowest, the four seed. You just do it by record.
So there was revisions then on both of these, right? So the Tush Push.
This is the language. This was the interesting line. So this is the Packers pushing this.
Yeah.
The Packers with the Tush Push, they submitted a revision of the rule proposal that would more broadly ban pushing or pulling the ball carrier anywhere on the field. In the proposal's updated language, quote, offensive players cannot assist the runner except by individually blocking opponents for him. And they also eliminated the phrase immediately at the snap in the updated language so that you could, like, in other words, it applies to the entire play.
It expands it more, yeah.
And they think that by changing those two things, they will get the necessary votes for this to be banned.
So then, didn't I see a revision on even the higher seed? They're not going to use it for the wild card round. They would use it for the divisional round. I believe I saw that as well.
Oh, I did not see that.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't think that one's going through. I could be very wrong, but I don't think that one's going through. First of all, I hope that one's not going through.
Me too.
Through.
I know you and I are on the same page about that. I actually feel like I've got strong opinions on all of these. Like that one, sorry if your division stinks. You should still get something for winning it. I believe in that, and whatever, however the playoffs shake out, they shake
out. Also, why would like AFC South teams ever vote to change that? Like they would never want that because they're like, we kind of suck. Really? So.
And like always. Yeah. No, you're totally right. Like, why would you ever want to do that?
They might not say those words out loud. Yeah.
Tush Push. You know what? I will give them this, Gil. If you want to reevaluate this in 10 years, fine. This feels like way too short of a sample size and one team doing it way too well for us to have this kind of reaction to try to get it out of the game completely.
By the way, it's actually, when they go into the stats, it's actually two teams that do it very well.
Yeah, Bills too, right?
Bills do it very well too. The Bills just don't get nearly the publicity because the Eagles were the originators and perfecters of this thing.
There's one other NFL thing that I've kind of got like thoughts on, that this whole Olympics flag football thing. I think it's going to be really cool. It's going to be really cool to watch if NFL players are playing flag football in the Olympics. But, oh, boy, how much regret is there going to be as soon as we get the first major injury that happens?
What was my man's name for the New England Patriots back in the day? Remember in Hawaii in the sand?
Oh, yeah. That stupid thing. Yeah, playing flag football in the sand. Yeah.
Robert Edwards.
I don't remember who it
Robert
was.
Edwards was his name, I believe.
Maybe. I don't remember.
Anyway, it's like careers can end, you know?
Right, exactly. The first time we see an ACL blown or something in the Olympics, we're going to be like, oh, I don't know about this.
If you're a fan of your team, you're praying no one plays in this.
Yes.
All right, so we're on Tush Push Watch this morning. I thought the language change the Packers were going to make were to change it to Tuchus Push, which would really put it over the top, but apparently not. Mark Borchardt on baseball coming up. We'll talk conference finals in the NBA. Jake Hahn with the NHL semis, if you will, otherwise known as the conference semis there as well in the Stanley Cup playoffs. We'll talk with Jake about that. That begins tonight. Drew Dinsick, hour number two, NBA playoffs, and anything he has to say about Hamburg or Strasbourg or any of the clay court tournaments going on this week. Obviously, the French Open beginning at the end of this week. So Sunday night stateside, Monday morning in Paris. That's when the French Open, the second tennis major, will begin. We'll see if Drew has any thoughts on that. Same goes with Ben Wilson. Any thoughts on the French? And Ben Wilson covers college baseball. When I say covers, he does play-by-play for college baseball all the time. When we walked in here this morning, we saw tennis from Europe on the screens here at Circa, and the other thing we're seeing is college baseball.
This is conference tournaments, man. Tuesday morning, bright and early on the East Coast, and they're playing games.
So Ben Wilson with all his thoughts, get a little future play from him or two as we approach Omaha, as we approach the College World Series here in a few weeks' time. By the way, speaking of the NFL, I went down because there was no basketball or hockey last night. That was the first again. How was the first night in how long?
In a month.
In a month where we didn't have any hockey or basketball. So it was just a baseball baseball strong night, and even baseball wasn't a full slate. So I went down the Warren Sharp NFL schedule rabbit hole a little bit last night. We love Warren. Maybe we'll have Warren on later on the later on this week on the show. Warren has a cottage industry of breaking down NFL schedules. And I don't know if he's nearly the better that we are, right? We're much more immersed in betting than he is. He's more of a broader football guy. I think he dabbles in it. But he really should be like, this is his main gig at this point, is like sort of an ombudsman for the NFL schedule, mm-hmm. like just making sure the NFL is on its P's and Q's. So I just want to go through a few things from him. And sort of like put it in a betting or non-betting context. So let's take the Cincinnati Bengals, for instance. This is Warren Sharp on the schedule. Third straight year, the Bengals are playing Baltimore on a short week on a Thursday night at Baltimore. Third straight year. It's only the fourth time in history this has ever happened to any team playing another team that they've played third time short week on a Thursday night. By the way, the Bengals lost the last two straight up to the Ravens. Last 20 years, the Ravens hosting Thursday games are 9-0 straight up. By the way, they're 2-6 on the road. Well, Bengals 7-2 at home. They're 2-6 on the road when they play short week Thursday night football games on the road or at home, but short week being the point. The Bengals have only hosted the Ravens once in that span in the last 20 years. Once on a Thursday since 2006. So this is what he's trying to get at here, is the imbalance of making Cincinnati have to do this for a third straight year. This rarely happens, and the Ravens get the best of it again. Now, here's the thing. From a betting standpoint, that's, you know, it's a fascinating fact to know. This was the whole time I was going through his stuff, I was thinking to myself, okay, is this actionable information?
Mm.
And for me, you know, it's going to be built into the line at that time of year.
Yep.
And a lot of his stuff is good, I think, from a betting standpoint, from a season-long standpoint. It's like a tool in your toolbox of, oh, if I'm thinking about betting the Bengals season win total over-under or the Ravens season win total or over-under, this is just one bullet point to keep in mind kind of thing. But then there's some other stuff that I think is actionable, right? So, again, from a season win standpoint or, you know, just your general feeling on a team. The Steelers, toughest schedule in football, and the Giants overall have the toughest schedule. Browns second toughest, Lions third toughest. We'll get to that in a minute. But the Steelers have the number one toughest schedule of opponents per Warren, week 7 on. So now this to me is something you should keep in mind, because when you do adjusted season win totals, that draws a line, right, where you might want to wait till after week 6 and then pound the under. Like, you'd almost hope for the Steelers to do well the first 6 weeks of the season. They have a bye in there. So let's say, I don't know, let's say they went 3-2 or, oh my God, let's say they went 4-1, which is very possible, by the way, right? At Jets, home Seahawks, at Patriots, Vikings game is in Dublin. Then after a rest, a home game against the Browns. So let's say Mike Tomlin does this Mike Tomlin thing when all of a sudden Steelers are 4-1. Everybody's talking about, oh, Mike Tomlin's never had the losing season, blah, 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 and all that's out there. This is just a good sort of note to have, like, okay, but then after that, number one toughest schedule opponents week 7 on. It's also the second toughest rest and prep schedule. Talk about rest is scheduling disadvantage in 5 of their 6 toughest games. 3-day rest disadvantage versus Buffalo, 3-day rest disadvantage in Baltimore, 1-day rest disadvantage in Detroit, 7-day disadvantage versus Cincy, and the other game again, Cincy short week road game on a Thursday night. So that to me is actionable Warren Sharp information, right? Where it's like, okay, here's where it gets really tough. So I think you bookmark something like that. Raiders, again, this is the Warren Sharp rabbit hole I went down last night. No team got hit harder by the 2025 NFL schedule than the Raiders, he says. Fewest rest edge games. Remember now, an edge and rest means, let's say you both, let's say you played, Kelly, you played on a Sunday, but I played on a Monday. And then we're both playing, you know, Sunday. You have a 1-day rest advantage in that. And then he aggregates it over the total year. So the Raiders, fewest rest edge games, only one where they have the edge this year. Most rest disadvantage games, they have six rest disadvantage games. and their net is minus 19 days of rest, the worst in the NFL for the Las Vegas Raiders. Early road games, short weeks, brutal setup. And the last one I want to point out is the Lions, because the Lions overall, when you look at their opponents, right, and this is how, like, going through a schedule sometimes just when they would put up the grid of a schedule can be misleading. So when you look at the Lions' schedule, look at those opponents. I mean, that's the third hardest schedule in the NFL. They play a brutal first-place schedule. But as Warren points out, and I think this is actionable just from a season-long standpoint, before you're ready to fade the Lions' win total, right, to go under on something like that, he points out that the Lions play teams coming off Monday Night Football. Guess how many times, Kelly? Five times.
That's pretty crazy.
And they have a rest advantage in eight games, meaning almost half their schedule, they have the rest advantage in individual games. The most that he's ever seen, only one game with a rest disadvantage. So basically, it's a plus +7 in games in terms of advantage and rest for the Lions. No other team in their division, by the way, is more than zero, more than even. They have 13 days of rest cumulative over their opponents. Fifth largest rest edge in the last 25 years. So wow. In other words, for the Lions, when you just look at their schedule, the list of opponents is very difficult, but the way that that it was sequenced gives them the pendulum swinging back to it being an advantage is humanly possible.
I'm okay with them doing that with these first place schedules too, because I think we get a little imbalanced sometimes.
Yeah, but to that extent, ooh. Anyway, so that's the thing. We'll have them on later in the week, but I found it interesting because some of it is just, oh, that's an interesting scheduling quirk. Others is, okay, you could actually put this to use in your bets. We'll come back NBA next right here on A Numbers Game at VSiN.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Want to bet smarter? Start with smarter insights. Right now at VSiN.com, you can check out Greg Peterson's Major League Baseball picks. Hey, when are we getting Greg on the show? Let's do this.
Whenever you want, Gil.
Whenever I want. Whenever he wants. Remember, it's Greg's world.
He's wide open now, man.
All just living it.
He's going to bed at 8 a.m.
Steve Mackinnon's NBA Conference Finals trends. Zach Cohen's T-Wolves Thunder Game 1 preview. And later today, you can check out Jonathan Davis's NHL Conference Finals Series previews. Wes Reynolds' Charles Schwab Challenge preview. And Adam Burke's MLB Best Bets. Right now, you can sign up for our annual subscription. Get 14 months for only $199 with promo code PRO. Just head to VSiN.com/subscribe to sign up today. Skill Alexander. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Y'all are the best. This is from Poke Therapy, who says, I'm a day late, but Strasbourg is in Germany, not France. LOL. He's LOLing us. We're making fun of ourselves, and then he piled on with an LOL.
Yeah, at least we openly asked the question yesterday.
Yeah. But you did some Strasbourg research, and you found something that might little clap back at Poke Therapy.
Yeah, because I thought my in-show research during that was wrong, perhaps. But no, the tennis tournament is being played. We were correct in Strasbourg, France. But there's also a Strasbourg, Germany, and a Strasbourg, Austria.
Yes.
Strasbourg's everywhere.
So there you go, Poke Therapy.
The only one we were wrong about was Switzerland. Maybe, we were wondering about Switzerland.
Maybe you don't know your full Strasbourg extent. I think you do. Pick 10 says the same thing I did. He said, no way AFC South vote yes on reseeding. Why would they want to give up that early slot on Saturday on wild card weekend? That's right. The official Houston Texans AFC South slot Saturday
Texans
morning.
Playoff window.
That's funny. Doug Tuttle. Doesn't the division argument go back to when Seattle won the division with a losing record and had home field advantage over a wild card with a better record? Well, that's one example in the history of the NFL. I mean, there's been others as well, but that is one stark example.
Yeah.
John Balducci, excellent use of the word ombudsman. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Matt Grissom said, college baseball on its circa, you say, Gil and Kelly? Be there soon. And then Shrek McPhee, I'm not sure what he's talking about here, but he says, Vrabel was elite. Oh, he's just giving an opinion, I think. Vrabel was elite for a few years in Tennessee with Tannehill and an average defense. Aside from the division, quarterback upgrade, much better defense. I understand he had King Henry, but New England over 8.5. Lock, he says. Defense is going to be top 3. Oh, God. Lock?
Lock.
Easy
with the L word.
Easy with that word.
Yes, sir. I mean, look, I think that team's going to be better.
Yeah, me too.
I'm not rushing to bet win totals over on them, though.
They feel like the proverbial, ooh, everybody loves them way too much team.
Yes. Yeah, and I think on the flip side of that, I feel like I'm still a little bit higher on the Dolphins than a lot of people are. Like, I don't think they're great, but like everybody's like rushing to fade the Dolphins this year. And I'm like, yeah, I still think there's enough talent on that team. It wouldn't shock me if Miami was still a second team in the AFC East.
Well, let's talk about something that happens tonight as opposed to the NFL. The NBA playoffs resumes after a one-day hiatus, or the nature of the games this weekend was, if you want to include that, maybe it's a 5 or 6 day hiatus. Oklahoma City Thunder, Minnesota Timberwolves, Western Conference Finals begin tonight in OKC with the Thunder 7.5-point favorites, the total 216.5, and let it be known that around these parts, these are big games, all of these, because we have 8 picks left in the NBA playoff VSiN Killer Sports Challenge, where Steve Fezzik and our own Zach Cohen tied at the top, 19-11, Kazarian in third, and you and me and Alex Christensen a half game out of the money.
That's right.
So this is big. It starts tonight. Will you make a play on tonight's game, Kelly Bidlin?
Yes, I will. I already have. I played Minnesota plus 7.5 in this game.
I might be there with you.
I like the under, too. I don't know what all I'm going to use for the contest. I don't know if I want to fire 2 bullets right out of the gate. You know what I mean? But I do lean under. Both these teams have been really good defensively. And this Thunder, this Thunder team is just suffocating with what its defense has done. I think there are legit questions as the series goes on of what we saw last series is, okay, it's a lot of the same questions from a season ago at times. You're getting killed on the glass. Could that happen again against Minnesota? Yeah, they cleaned it up towards the end of the series, though. Got to give Thunder credit there. But then the question of where's that secondary scoring coming from when you need it outside of SGA, and I think that's a problem that's going to continue to linger over for this team, and it's going to be interesting to see if they address it in the offseason. But both these teams, great defense throughout the playoffs so far. I do lean to the under, and I like Minnesota catching points here tonight. And this is, it's not so much about the rest, Gil, because, that game was a blowout early, right? A lot of guys were able to hit the bench. It's not like this is too much of a rest situation, but you combine that with, I think we talk so much about this young Oklahoma City team being in these big-time spots. It's just a lot, I think, to switch your mindset from beating Nikola Jokic and that Denver Nuggets team in a game 7 and getting ready to play immediately game 1 against the Timberwolves 2 days later. So I think Minnesota, I respect Chris Finch. I think having all this time to get ready, if they're going to take one in Oklahoma City, I think it is the first game.
I'm going to make a comment. I'll say agree or disagree here.
Okay.
Picking over under, going with a total in the contest, let alone your bets.
Mm-hmm.
But let's just do it through the prism of the contest. I feel like, first of all, and someone might shout back at this, well, it's all coin flips. I think the totals feel like the true coin flips at this point.
Well, me too.
I feel like the sides, at least you can have some conviction on that. And they're, getting points with the T-Wolves and Pacers, in my opinion, is both, in both cases, very enticing. I feel like with the totals, you really are just flipping a coin.
So that's largely, like, I bet a lot more sides in the NBA. I mean, you sit here and watch me do it all season long. I bet way more sides than I do totals in the NBA anyways. I think once you get into the playoffs, you can, with less on the board, right, you get more attracted into looking deeper at every betting possibility. And I think for me, I get more attracted to betting totals. But the contest is a perfect example of, like, it's not like those have been aces for me at all. I should stick to what I know, and that's sides.
On the other hand, if you're getting the best of it in the contest, different story altogether,
yeah,
right, based on what the current line is.
And just to back up a little bit further, this is Thunder number one defensive rating in the playoffs so far, going up against Minnesota with the number two defensive rating. There are so many fascinating things when we talk about this from a series perspective, Gil. Like, this is, okay, the Thunder thrive on their ability to force turnovers and make you pay for it. Timberwolves, like, I'm going to try to play devil's advocate here on both sides, but with both these teams. Timberwolves, they can be loose. They were 19th in regular season in turnover rate. That is not great. We've seen Anthony Edwards and Julius Randle, both in big spots, have turnover issues, and the Thunder will make you pay. That's what they did to Denver in that first half, and that game got out of control really quick. I think that's a big concern for Minnesota. On the other side, it's a lot of what we talked about with Denver heading into that series against Oklahoma City. This is a very, very good offensive rebounding and rebounding team on the Minnesota side. How does Oklahoma City negate that? is going to be the big question for them. And where does that secondary offensive scoring come into play? I think that's the big issue for Oklahoma City. There are some props. I know I saw Ben played one of these as well. I can talk through mine. I think there's a way, though, that Oklahoma City, I don't think it's going to happen early because I think Minnesota will stick with this as long as they can. But as the series goes on, I wouldn't be shocked if Rudy Gobert gets played off the court a little bit, that they're going to be able to stretch out shooters too much. We could see Chet as the single big a fair amount and stretch it out and really make Rudy Gobert kind of a non-factor, just because this Oklahoma City team, Gil, they don't score much at the rim. And that's where you need Rudy Gobert. In the half court, they're not a high percentage rim scoring team. If you look at everything, they score a fair amount on the rim because of what they do in transition. But in the half court, they don't do that as much. And that's where Gobert is needed so much.
Give me the final series correct tally. How many games? Who wins by how many?
It's going to be really boring. I'm going to say Oklahoma City in seven, though.
OKC in seven. Yeah. You think it goes six full or, seven again?
Six or seven. I think I'm closer to six. Closer, I'll say six. I'll say Oklahoma City six, but I'm definitely closer to seven than I am to five.
How about the other series? Indiana, New York. Indiana in six for me.
Indiana in six, but that's because of just the home court coming into play, right? With game six. That's why I'll say that.
Meaning what? Meaning that
just like it's more likely for them to win on home court back at home, right, in game six.
Well, obviously, but I'm just saying, like, how does that differ from your approach to the first series?
Yeah, it's just that's where I was going. That's why I went back to Oklahoma City seven, right?
Yeah.
That's why I started with them at seven. But I think they could make it. I think they could steal one of these early. I've got nothing at game one for Pacers Knicks, man. This is
really, Zach and I were texting a little bit about this yesterday. This, a lot of this, and again, I hate to make it all through the prism of our contest, but that's what we're sort of obsessed with around these parts, is a lot of this is going to come down to, like, there's Fezzik, who's a robot, right? He's just getting the best of the number every time he's in. He'll never get the worst of the number in a contest, right? So he's the robotic player. Zach and I were talking about how, like, this is the case in all series, but it seems particularly pronounced here headed into these particular matchups, because it's really going to come down to what your pre-flop conviction is here and then the ability for you to adapt and not hold firm to it if things go a different way. Because Zach is already saying, he's, you know, unlike Fezzik, who's super confident, Zach's already like, my conviction is going to be the end of me because I won't be able to break out of it.
Yeah. I think that's the difference between
and I feel like that too, right? Like, because I'm kind of like, I like all these points with Minnesota. I like all these points with Indiana. What happens if something bucks that early? Am I going to stick with my conviction? We'll see. We'll come back. Hockey with Jake Hahn.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
EdgeBoost is the first ever bank account built for bettors, ensuring all gambling transactions are approved. No usage fees, no minimums. Earn cashback rewards, 100% approval for all betting deposits. Sign up today at edgeboost.bet with promo code ANG.
ANG is an A numbers game.
Deposit $25 and EdgeBoost will match the deposit. That's edgeboost.bet. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciate the feedback. OPS Plus is for commies. He says, don't forget the best Strasburg, Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
Best Strasburg.
Let's go Strasburg, Pennsylvania.
Best Strasburg is Steven Strasburg, though, right? I think we all can agree on that. Primetime, Cowboys _ Cubs 1. Yo, Gilly. Hey, man. Couldn't help but notice your fellow tribesman Max Homa torpedo your Scheffler bet on Friday, shooting his best ever round in a major simply to troll you. Oh, I know. Leaflet on leaflet crime, he says. Only one thing can bring you out of this funk. Ready? Yoga pants. Oh, so many good references in there.
I don't know if I realized that's who beat you on Friday.
Max Homa beat me.
Wow.
Yeah, sure did. Las Vegas 514 says it. He goes, yo, don't forget about our Washington Nationals World Series champion pitcher, Steven Strasburg. That's right. And Dell, mind the gap radio. As a diehard Dolphins fan, Kelly is one of the few optimists. I would bet Mike McDaniel, first coach fired, he says. Quinn Ewers will start a game this season. Note, I was an in-studio guest of Mitch and Paul's and have sat in your seat in 2023. Oh, there you go. You want some street cred.
You got
some street cred there. Michael Burns. Is it Jake Hahn or Jay Kahn? Interesting. I'll hang up and listen. Is it Jake Hahn?
Do we do a bad job of that?
Maybe
Jake?
Hahn. Maybe my enunciation sucks. It's not Jason Kahn, producer number seven. It's a different guy. Jake Hahn. One more thing, Kelly. I don't know if you know this, but we get emails too in addition to tweets. Are you familiar with this?
Gil just checked his email for the first time in a week.
Week.
Did this really just come through this morning?
Just now.
This is you guys don't even know. This is one of the most miraculous things that's ever happened on this show. That Gil checked his email during the show and is seeing one of your emails.
I could have 10,000 of these. I have no idea.
He's probably got 10,000 from his bosses that he hasn't seen.
Richard Robinson. Yo, Gil, I heard you talking about NFL seeds. What about this crazy concept that I've been sitting on for a couple years now? Week one of the playoffs will be the number two team in each division visiting the number one team in each division to play for the division crown, which would make 8 true division winners advancing to the conference semis. So first you got to play your way out of the division, then go win the conference. Divisional games are the best games anyways. He says, P.S., why is Dallas in the NFC East? It's Rich in Canada, by the way, watching on Visa. Thank you, Rich in Canada. By the way, sorry about the Leafs if you're a Leafs fan, but we'll see if he's from Toronto or not. But Dallas, first of all, that's the thing. There are established rivalries in the NFL. This is why, like, anything anti-division I can't stand, because growing up a Skins fan, those rivalries are everything.
I mean, if anything, I miss the Cardinals in the division.
So there is no, geographically speaking, Dallas should never be in the East. I get it, but, like, that rivalry is so entrenched. If you ever did something against NFL rivalries, like, if you ever took them out, you're killing the sport. But as far as your, do you like that idea? So you play a regular season, whoever finishes first and second in each division, then they play, in essence, a division title game.
I don't hate it.
I don't hate it either.
I don't hate it, but also, like, this just goes back to my original point. To me, nothing's broken. Why are we trying to fix what's broken?
I agree completely. Mark Borchardt isn't broken, at least as far as we know. At BaseWinner, BaseWinner.com, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. Talk a little Major League Baseball with him right now. How you doing, Mark?
Gil, I'm doing good. This Diamondbacks Dodgers series is, I mean, it's exciting for me. I've never been this bullish on the Diamondbacks, and I am this year. It's taken me, gosh, how long have I been doing this since 2008? It's taken me almost 20 years but I love this team, and I think that they're really undervalued in the market, Gil.
Dodgers got swept by the Angels, then they drop one to the Diamondbacks yesterday. I'll ask you, I think I already know the answer to this from you, so I won't even ask it, because I was going to say, hey, what's the price in the NL West right now for the division? We went over this with Spore yesterday. Your answer is clearly the Diamondbacks, right?
Oh, yeah. I think that, you know, and I ran the simulations today, and like it's controversial to probably everybody else but me, but like I'm looking at the numbers. And like the Diamondbacks offense is like really undervalued. They are right with the Dodgers. They, you know, the team everybody thinks is the 27 Yankees in a ton of different metrics, OPS, weighted runs created plus, and a good enough time frame to make it matter. And then, you know, starting pitching wise, I have the Diamondbacks 8th. You know, the one thing that's going to be interesting to see what happens is the health of AJ Puck and Jason Martinez. And so when you're looking at season depth and your projections, your simulations, your Monte Carlo projections, you've got to kind of take that into account, because these guys, they may or may not play. So who do I use? I use Baseball Prospectus. They do a really good job with a season-long team depth. They've got these guys coming back. I don't know if I really agree with that, but even so, even if they don't come back, I think, what are they at, 11-1 in the market? I think that's a steal. I really do, Gil.
Yeah, we're showing 9-1, but always shop around for this, because it's going to vary from book to book. But we're showing 9-1 on the Diamondbacks right now in a log jam at the top of the NL West. And then there's the Rockies afterward. But Dodgers, Padres, Giants, and Diamondbacks all just jammed up there at the top, a little more than a quarter of the way through the season. Let's show the May wins market, guys. Let's update the May wins, because I want to ask Borchardt a question about this. Mark, this is a market that we bet. I'm being trolled all season so far. I had the Mets race to 10. They didn't win that, but then they won March, April. I had the Twins March, April. They didn't win that, but now they are atop the May monthly. They're 13-3. The Cardinals are 13-4. Let me just ask about those two teams. By your numbers, which of these two is the most likely to sustain? They're not going to go. Listen, obviously, they're not going to go at a 13-3 or 13-4 pace the rest of the year. But I'm saying, of generally speaking, of these two teams, which is the most likely to sustain good baseball the rest of the way?
I'm sorry, Gil. I miss you. You cut out there for the two teams.
Twins and Cardinals are having a great month. Who's the most? What's the most Twins?
Oh, absolutely, the Twins. Okay. I think that their pitching is so good. I mean, they're number one starting pitching. They're number one in the bullpen. And just using the K minus BB thing, if we use that, it's not controversial at all. They strike out a lot of guys and they don't walk a lot of guys. Too. I mean, it's simple sometimes, right? You have all these advanced metrics and guys, you could go, how the guy does it. Hey, if you're striking out guys and not walking guys as a pitcher, you're a good team.
That's, you know, every once in a while I ask you about this because you were all with all the acronyms and all the advanced metrics, but sometimes it is just that simple. K minus BB as a collective, as a pitching staff collective you're talking about right now? Starters.
Yeah, K minus BB. And again, there's not one perfect metric, one metric that you would use. But if there was, that would be the metric. K minus BB or BBK I use. It's a division. It's easier to work with for me personally in my brain. But it's the same thing. K minus BB, BB divided by K, same idea.
Would you ever want an intern, Mark? There's got to be people who are listening to this are like, I'd love to be this guy's intern. Just to learn all this stuff.
Oh, yeah. Gosh, let me know. I could really help people out. And I think, Gil, you know, we were talking about this prior to the show. It's like how difficult it is. And you are the voice of sports betting and how difficult it is to be able to talk in a wonderful way about multiple different sports. It's impossible to do one sport. And then I think like one guy could, like, if you want to be a great handicapper and well-respected, take one team and just be the St. Louis Cardinals handicapper. That would I would pay good money to follow a St. Louis Cardinals handicapper as much as I do, because it's like you could spend probably 2 hours, a good 2 hours, handicapping one game on one card of MLB, Gil.
It's such a great point for sports betting in general, right? Specialization. Kelly and I were talking about this also, which is, and I could just say, I'll speak for myself. I used to bet like all these casino games, right, when I was in my 20s. And then that narrowed to like, oh, I only play craps and blackjack. And then that went away. And then all these sports I bet narrowed. And, you know, so it narrows it. I think that's probably the way it should go. And so that's even what you're talking about is a whole nother level of specialization. And,
well, and I think that's a good example, Gil. Like, look at, you are the hardcore tennis specialist. You know, if I want to bet a hardcore tennis match, who am I going to go to? I'm going to go to you. And so I think I just think it makes it easier. And if we can respect other people in our industry, like, gosh, I wish I had like a totals expert, but you know, let me know who that is, right?
What'd you land on today, Mark?
Speaking of the Diamondbacks, I like the Diamondbacks. You know, you could get them on the run line +1.5 at almost even money, -111. And, you know, Yamo B there, I'm as big a fan as him and the song as there is. But I have this game priced at -116. I like Nelson almost as much. And if you look at the numbers, you look at Ryan Nelson's BBK, it's 0.22. That's super low. And I think control is really important here. The offense comparison, gosh, you look at my chart. I got the Diamondbacks in this game. This is man for man. Last 500 plate appearances, they're number one against the number two offense with the Dodgers. The only thing that really kind of bothers me about this play, and kind of why I played it on the run line, is this is such an, I think the Dodgers have only lost four home games in a row once in the last 3 years, and they won that game. It's just an unfamiliar spot, and you would think that, you know, backing the Dodgers multiple times, a lot of these guys do this progressive bet. Well, if they don't win, I'll play them again. And I don't think that's that bad of an idea. But in this case, okay, gosh, if you did that with the Dodgers, you'd have your ass handed to you.
Gotta run. +204 on the D-backs. Thank you, Mark. Appreciate it.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Betting on sports? Why not try the races? First Bet lets you wager on hundreds of horse races every day from top tracks across the U.S. and around the world. Sign up at firstbet.com. Firstbet.com. That's the number one. STBet.com. Use promo code VSiN200 to claim a 20% rebate for your first 60 days up to $200. Head to firstbet.com today. We didn't make enough of the Preakness. That was just awesome. It's rare that a horse race, for me anyway, I know a lot of people get charged up by horse racing, but it is rare for one of those to just like sort of stick in your head. But that was incredible how journalism ran down Gosker.
Mm-hmm.
the number nine horse down the stretch. It bumping, like you're like, oh my God, it's never going to get out of this scrum of horses. And then it did, and it just flew down the stretch.
Yeah, I tried to do the whole like split between the two horses and just got crammed. I didn't think he was going to get out of
it. I didn't think so either. And it's also like, you know, we have in-game betting and in every sport. Imagine if you had in-horse race odds in real time at the moment where journalism was banged up there in the middle. By the way, it's a horse racing term, banged up. It would have been like plus big time at that point.
I'm just thinking about the hilarious idea of that, of like being able to process yes. numbers that quickly, right? It's like it's a 90-second horse race.
And the
like,
notion that and the notion that a sports book wouldn't spin you. Up, oh, sorry, the race is over.
Like, that's one where we talk about like making sure you don't like you're at commercial, you yeah. know when there's a break in the action. Like you could only do that if you were at the track somehow, right? Like if you're like sitting at the window, like watching and talking to the guy taking bets.
They would spin you to the Belmont. We get tweets of Biddy the Book. I just want to read this one before Jake. Tailgate Sports. ESPN Bet has total games played in the NBA Conference Finals over 11.5 -105.
Bet. That's a bet over for
That's
me.
What he's saying. Yeah. Feels like a pretty decent look if you're able to bet more than $10 on ESPN bet. Well, there's that, Tailgate Sports. Can't help you with that.
I haven't seen... that's a great prop. I haven't seen that posted anywhere
All
else.
All right, so what you're saying is that both series, though... I mean, in other words, it's either a sweep or seven, or both go... Here's the thing. Both have to go... One goes 5-7, so it goes 5-7 or 6-6.
Right, right.
I don't think it's as big of a lock as you think.
I mean,
5-6 is very possible.
It's very possible.
Yeah,
it's possible.
But -105, man.
For me, it would still be a small
still
bet.
Still be
though.
A small bet.
Yeah, because okay. I have a bet on the over on the Thunder Wolves series, and I definitely lean that way for Pacers Knicks.
Let's talk some hockey, shall we? Jake Hahn joins us. Jake Space Hahn.
That was my slap shot, Gil.
That was that. Was that what it was?
Slap
that
shot.
Does not look very. Good. It's not very athletic. Jake Hahn joins us now. You can follow him on Twitter at jhahn4, J-H-A-H-N-4, by the way, on the old Twitter machine. And, of course, he's the co-host of The Point, the fantasy hockey show on SiriusXM NHL. Joins us now, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. What's happening, Jake?
What's up, boys? Conference final time, obviously, in the NBA and in the NHL. Just heard you guys talking before you brought me on. The NBA's got all the fresh blood, all these teams that either haven't won a championship ever, or the Knicks who haven't won since, what, the 70s. NHL, it's kind of same old, same old. It's the teams that have been there before. Now, championship-wise, we have some teams working on some droughts, so we could see teams win the Stanley Cup for the first time in a while. But in terms of being in conference finals, Edmonton's been here before. Dallas has been here before. Carolina, we know Florida has. So all four teams with experience in this situation coming up this week.
Well, before we talk about those droughts, can we talk about the biggest drought of them all? And I know we're a day removed here from the aftermath of the Leafs getting knocked out of this Stanley Cup playoffs. But you're in Toronto, and a lot of folks on Game Plus listening to us up in Toronto. Just, again, they haven't won the Cup since 1967. They haven't been to a conference finals, the Leafs, since 2002. They were up 2-0 in this series against Florida, and they were up in Game 3, 3-1, and they gacked it. Where does this, and by the way, then you have Austin Matthews calling his teammates passengers after the series. Brutal. Where does this rank, Jake, like in terms of disappointments of Leafs seasons gone by? How high up is this one?
I think for me, and there's been a lot. There's a lot to pick from, Gil. You could honestly make a good top five list just from this version of the team. The Austin Matthews team, since he got drafted first overall, you could rank them, and everyone's free to their own opinion. And I wouldn't be surprised I wouldn't fault anybody for ranking this number one, just because you had a chance. You just laid it out perfectly. Up 2-0 in the series, up in that game three, and that's where there was kind of a turning point. Then they answer in game six. They actually play a perfect road game in game six, force it to seven, and then honestly have one of the worst game seven performances I think I've ever seen from a team. And a team that we watched, it was a great team all year. We know that they're talented, and then a no-show like that on home ice in game seven. So I wouldn't fault anybody for ranking at one. I still think the loss to the Montreal Canadiens about 4 years ago in the bubble, that was – That was probably the worst one. Up 3-1 in a series that you should have absolutely won against a team that you were way better than. You let them come back, and that was a great opportunity for them that year with that side of the bracket. So I would have it at 2 for this team, but they continued just rack it up year after year. And now the annual summer tradition starts, or spring summer tradition starts, Gil, of who do we run out of town in Toronto? Yes. They've already ran out the GM. They've ran out the coach. You know, all eyes are maybe on Brendan Shanahan now, or a player or two. So very interested to see what this management group does and how they come back from yet another gut-wrenching Game 7 loss.
Yeah, not to belabor it, because we got tweets on this. So is it Matthews and Nylander are the only guys that are safe, and everybody else, Marner and Domi and everybody else, is fair game at this point to be run out of town?
Well, they've committed to Matthews. They've committed to Nylander. Nylander's going to be there for a long time. Now, that's you could move players if you want, and these are contracts. These are very talented players that teams would certainly still line up for that are in the primes of their career. So they could do whatever they wanted with this roster, but I think Matthews is safe. I think Nylander is safe. And Mitch Marner has been an unrestricted free agent all season. And we rarely see a player like this that can put up 100 points in the regular season, that's near the league lead in scoring every single season. Those guys don't get to market. They just don't. You either make a move, you trade them if you're, you know, heading towards a rebuild, or you find a way to sign them. And the fact that there's been no pen to paper and there's already been angst between the fan base and Mitch Marner, I think he's the odd man out here. Probably some other changes in the roster as well, but it does sound like his days in Toronto seem to be over by all accounts.
Man, I felt for all our listeners and all our friends in Toronto. I felt for him. All right, let's go to the conference finals now, East and West. And this Panthers Hurricanes, we say that in tribute to Andy McNeil, who used to pronounce it Hurricanes for us. Panthers Hurricanes series is sort of like the Knights Oilers series was, which is to say that the team without the home ice is the series favorite, but they will be slight dogs in the 4 road games. So you have the Panthers as a -131 series favorite, but game number one, the Hurricanes are -126 favorites. How do you see this game and this series?
Well, and we've actually seen a lot of that over the last couple of rounds, Gil. You go back to the second round, a lot of the teams that didn't have home ice advantage were actually priced as the favorite. And in one case, the Carolina Hurricanes, massive favorite over the Washington Capitals, and mm-hmm. it looked like a massive favorite. They beat them quite easily. So I think the knock against the Canes, if there is one, it's hard to knock a team that's only lost one game in regulation to get here, is they haven't maybe been tested like some of these other teams, and they've had a bit of a weaker side of the bracket, I think you could argue. And we knew that going in, the Metro was going to be very gettable, and the Atlantic has dominated the Eastern Conference going back 6-7 years now. It's been very hard for any Metro team to even make a cup final. So I got to side with the Panthers here. I just can't bet against this team right now. They seem comfortable playing in any situation, no matter what it is, game 7, whatever it might be. They just seem to handle the pressure better than any other team. So I'm going Florida, and I think the way to play this, Gil, you mentioned how they're a slight underdog in this first game on the road. I like playing them on the money line in game 1. You know, maybe a half unit play, however you want to shake it out. If they lose the game, I think then you bet them at a better series price in that game. And I think that's the way I want to play this. Instead of laying the -125 to start, just hit them game 1, get a little bit of plus money and kind of see where the series price goes from there. But I have confidence when it's all said and done that I think Florida's going to be back in the cup final.
Similarly, out west, Dallas, a -130 favorite in game 1. But if you look at the series price, it is the Oilers that are a tick of a favorite. I'm seeing -118 as a series favorite here. How do you play this series?
I can't wait for this series, guys. It's so hard to pick against either of these teams. Edmonton, we know what they have, Connor McDavid, Leon, but there's so much more than that with the depth scoring that they're getting. And it feels like the goaltending has maybe figured itself out a little bit, but they're just playing so well defensively. And Dallas is going to be an excellent test. They're fully healthy now. They're clicking in every area. Jake Oettinger is probably the best goaltender going in the playoffs right now. So strong cases to be made for both sides. But at the end of the day, I go with the best player, and I'm going with Connor McDavid. He's got that look in his eye. They were close last year. They're close again, getting back to the Stanley Cup final here. I'm going to roll with the Edmonton Oilers in this series, guys. I think -110 is a pretty fair price. I respect Dallas fully, and that home crowd in Dallas is no joke. Those are not going to be easy games for the Edmonton Oilers, so they're going to have to work for it. I see this going 6, probably even 7 games. Maybe that could be the move, is playing one of those exact game prices that you got up on the board there. But I like the Edmonton Oilers ultimately to get it done here.
Are you in the camp that the winner of the Stars Oilers wins the cup, or are you not in that camp?
That's where I'm leaning, but it would be hard to pick against Florida in any series if it is indeed Florida. I think if Carolina gets through, I'd have maybe an easier time picking against them. But yeah, I think Stars, Oilers, whoever wins that would be my cup pick as well.
Yes or no? If you're a Stars conviction, do you have any Conn Smythe Ottinger bets that you would make? Yes?
Ottinger's the value over Randon at this point.
Thank you, Jake.